This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
All right, if you want Robert Spillane back for Christmas,
maybe for New Year's?
Yeah, I got bad news. Yeah. Not spotted at Patriots practice today. Third day in a row. I'm reading here from Mike Reese. This foreshadows the likelihood the Patriots leading tackler will not play for a second straight game. That's the bad news. Good news, though, Marcus Jones, Carlton Davis are back for the media access portion of Friday's practice, so it sounds like those guys are trending towards playing.
That's good. I know you've downplayed Robert Spillane this week when we've talked about, you know, losing him and Milton Williams and sort of the game that James Cook had and maybe the potential game Derrick Henry could have, but they're obviously better with him. And you saw at the beginning of the year he missed some tackles, and I think he was getting his footing down. I think he even talked about getting used to the scheme and it being a little bit different than what he was used to or whatever. But then after that, he was pretty good, and they obviously weren't lights out run defense in every game. But, I mean, he's your best middle linebacker, and so
no.
These are two games to not have him. Another way of putting it,
you're better with him. My only point was, you know, your run defense had slipped with him out there,
and
you were already giving up a lot of yards on the ground in some of these games with Spillane. The Milton Williams one, to me, there was one iffy game against the run. It was Tampa, and it really wasn't even that bad. Yards per carry it wasn't great, but in like total volume, it wasn't that bad. Milton Williams was healthy for that. He got hurt early in the Jets game. But Spillane has been out there for all these other games outside of the Buffalo game. That's all I said. But no, they're definitely better with those guys. You'd rather have them than not.
Yeah, but it looks like you're not.
It looks like you're not against the Ravens defense, which I do think is this week's Verizon matchup featuring Derrick Henry against the Pats run defense. I don't think that's going to go well for the Patriots this weekend. That is your Verizon matchup, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. If Henry runs all over them, can the Patriots still win?
Yeah, they can. Obviously, it'll be a lot more difficult, but it's not like Lamar Jackson's lighting the world up in the sky. So if Derrick Henry has a big game, let's say Derrick Henry even has, you know, 100 yards and a score somewhere along those lines, what do you really expect Lamar Jackson to do throwing it? We talked earlier about how Zay Flowers is good. Zay Flowers doesn't get in the end zone. So, like, he might pick up some first downs, might have some catches, but he hasn't scored much at all this year. So if you can hold that down, sure. The Patriots are going to have to put up some points. The Ravens' defense overall, I know they're coming off a shutout, but overall has not been a great defense. There's going to be some points to be scored. I mean, for example, if they score 31 again, like they did against the Bills last week, then I think they win this game.
Yeah, if you look, I mean, Derrick Henry can be game scripted out typically in his career, although this year that's not really the case. He averages more yards per carry and has more total yards and losses than wins. But typically, you know, if you're up a couple of touchdowns or you're up, you know, 10 points or whatever, which the Patriots were a week ago against Buffalo, I think they could be against Baltimore if things break right, you're not going to get as many carries for Derrick Henry. That really, yeah, looking through his game log, though, hasn't been the case. He went nuts against Buffalo in the opener this year. That was a loss. He then did nothing in a win against Cleveland. He ran for a bunch of yards in a loss to the Rams. That really actually hasn't been the case with him this year. But typically in his career, he's way more productive in wins than losses, which makes sense. You're ahead. You have the football, and you can run all over people.
But also the difference, too, is in previous years, or last year, when Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson were teammates, it was, if Derrick Henry has a monster game, well, now you take whatever he has, 120 yards, but then you add Lamar's 65, and now you just give up 200 yards roughly on the ground, where Lamar's not doing that this year.
No, he's...
So even if Derrick Henry runs a lot, kind of combine the two. Like, it's still going to be overall running, which they used to be able to just destroy you between the two of them, but now it's like, what's Lamar averaging? Like, 20, 30 yards a game?
Good
it's
question.
Low. It's whatever it is, it's low for him.
I was just about to look at his splits, too.
Right, I'll pull that up, too, just because it's surprising.
Rushing-wise, he got hurt, or he didn't play anyway from, like, the end of September until he basically missed a month until the beginning of October, end of October.
Yeah, he started, I think, 11 of their whatever it is, 14
games. Okay, so
he
went pre-injury rushing. He went 70 and a touchdown, 13, 35, 48, 14. I'm sorry, 48 was the last game. Since his injury, 14, 36, 10, 11, 27, 43. He's been a different runner when he's come
back.
Well,
this also jumps out. So if you look at his first full year as a starter, it was his first MVP award. He averaged 80 yards rushing a game. Since then, it's gone down, but it's usually in the 60s. The last 2 years, especially they get Derrick Henry, he doesn't have to do it as much. He still ran for 54 yards a game last year. He's down to 30. This year, it's like far and away his career low. I mean, what's Drake May at for average yards per game? I guess I double check that.
I guess probably something similar to that.
Which is pretty funny because that's not, you would think that'd be an overwhelming advantage for, he's at 26.
So Lamar, even in a career low year, is still averaging more yards than Drake.
He is like the greatest running quarterback ever.
No, but
probably.
But if you ask me who's averaging or who's going to have more rush yards this year, I probably wouldn't have guessed. I mean, Drake may have more total yards, but per game, I might have guessed Drake.
Yeah. But let's say it's even a wash. Like, that's odd, right? Like, going into a game where you're like, your quarterback's going to have as many rushing yards as Lamar Jackson, and it's not like he's throwing a million touchdowns either. So, like, to your point, like, Derrick Henry could have a big game, and that might be all they really do on offense.
So you can weigh in with your thoughts on Sunday's game. We'll get more into Josh McDaniels. Some updates from, both Greg Bedard and Tommy Curran that we'll circle back to. Plus, we have the year in review at 12:45.
Josh isn't going to matter on Sunday.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. That was not, just to be clear, that was not about Josh McDaniels. That was about Josh Allen, but it's funny nonetheless. We started, though, coming back here a little after high noon with the Thursday night game last night.
Crazy game.
I mean.
There really was.
Game of the year was getting thrown around a lot last night, and I'd like to mock it, but I think it was. I mean, it was an awesome game. Seahawks were down 16 in the fourth quarter with the ball. Sam Darnold threw a pick, and they still came back. And we're able to win that game in overtime.
He also had a two-point conversion batted down that they converted.
I mean, that to me is still – I'm not saying it was officiated wrong and I'm not blaming the refs. But, like, it was so late and so far after the fact and such a bang-bang play, I just thought that was garbage.
Also, nobody was arguing for it. It was like everybody just assumed it was
– Charbonnet picked up the ball as nonchalantly as possible. He wasn't, like, picking it up and being like
– Didn't pounce on it. No. Didn't spike it.
No.
He grabbed it with one hand. If you watch it, he waited for it to basically stop rolling, grabbed it with one hand.
Picking up a piece of garbage off the street.
It made it a very more entertaining game. You know, I didn't bet on the Rams or anything, so I'm not losing my mind. I was just watching that game. I had fantasy stuff, but whatever. I was just watching the game. You're like, oh, these are two of the best teams in the NFL. Let's see how this goes. For most of the game, you're like, oh, the Rams are way better than the Seahawks, which is what I thought. And then they're down 16. They score twice, get 2 two-point conversions. They win the toss in overtime, say, you take the ball first, which Stafford immediately goes all the way down the field. He and Puka Nacua and score a touchdown.
Yeah, maybe cover Puka. Like, I don't know what they were
doing
there.
He would be a guy that maybe guard.
I would cover him a little tighter on that
play.
And
no Davante Adams, right? So he's had an awesome season. You don't even have him. But the running backs and Puka Nacua at 12 for 225 and two touchdowns was awesome. Stafford went for 450. But they take the lead in overtime, and now you're like, all right, what's Sam Darnold going to do with this? Well, he's going to move down the field, score a touchdown. They go for two because as they were outlining during the thing, they already lost the head-to-head matchup before. So if they tie, it was essentially a loss for them. So they needed to go for two, which I'm glad they did. Made it way more entertaining.
I mean,
And it was the right call.
I think based on the standings and that they had already lost to the Rams, they did a good job detail. Not a great broadcast last night for our guy Al, who I love. But Al is struggling in these Thursday night broadcasts lately.
Yeah.
But they did a good job detailing that last night. They're like, based on the standings and based on the amount of time left in the game, because the Rams still have enough time to go down and get a field goal and win it if you kick the extra point. I think the Seahawks are well coached. I still don't believe in them. I was wrong about last night.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good.
I was wrong about them last night. I didn't think they'd come back. I don't know that a lot of people thought they would, but I tweeted it out. I'm like, they're dead. You shouldn't believe in this team. Don't believe in Darnold. Wrong. It's been a rough week on Twitter for me with those takes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I told Cam Newton.
You want to say something about Lamar during the game so he can the Patriots go win?
I guess I
That'd
should.
That'd be good.
I told Cam Newton not to even bother showing up when the Pats were up 21-0 against the Bills. So it's been a rough week for me in that regard. Has he taken a victory lap?
I don't think he
has.
He probably forgot what he said. I don't even know.
No, no, but McDonald, I think, is a good coach.
Same.
He's now won, last year they won 10 games. They didn't make the playoffs, right? But last year I think they won 10 games, and it was with Geno. Now they're going to maybe be the one seed in the NFC with Sam Darnold. Did they not win 10 games last year? I thought they were 10-7. And maybe on the
survey says 10-7, missed the playoffs.
Right.
In his first year.
So as a rookie coach with Geno, and we all see how much of a trash player Geno is these days.
No, but they've greatly improved. Their offense is way better. Their defense is way better.
He won 10 games and just barely missed the playoffs as a rookie coach with Geno. He switches quarterbacks, goes to Sam Darnold, and he might be the number one seed in the NFC.
Which seemed like a push.
I think it's a pretty easy call in overtime to say we're going to take the ball these days. I think that's an easy call. And going for two, I also think was the right decision, but that's like really putting it on your shoulders for blowback.
Yeah.
I do think he's a pretty good coach. I think that defense is really good. I think JSN, as you said earlier,
best receiver in the league.
Probably the best receiver in football, certainly having the best season.
He's awesome.
If he's not the best. But I still don't believe in that team because I don't believe in Darnold, who made some great throws.
Yeah.
He made some great throws on the final drive in overtime. The out to Cooper Kupp hung in there, took a big hit, great throw. The touchdown throw to JSN was great as well. There were also a million horrible throws. The two-point conversion was trash. He threw two picks last night. They basically didn't trust him at the end of regulation to even throw the football. They just kept handing off. I just can't believe in that guy. But I think the Seahawks kind of have everything else.
Do you think he might grab Coach of the Year from Vrabel? Would he get consideration? I guess their team was a lot better last year.
He should definitely get consideration. I don't know if he'll get it from Vrabel
or
not.
Updated odds. Vrabel plus 175, McDonald plus 200 is second, then Kyle Shanahan, Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson are your top five, according to the odds right now.
Why is Shanahan on there?
I don't know.
I wouldn't have Shanahan on.
Because Mac Jones? Yeah, thanks, Nick. Because of Mac Jones?
Oh, maybe. That's a good point, actually. Maybe. I mean, they've won a bunch of games. They really have an easy schedule.
Yeah.
As do the Patriots.
Together with Kendrick Bourne and Josh Taws or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Josh Taws.
The tight end after Kittle went down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tonjes? Is that
Tonjes.
It?
Tonjes,
yeah. All right, not to muddy the waters here. I have a question watching that game. This is like an NFL rules question.
Why would we not want to muddy the waters? Go for it.
Well, this has nothing to do with really the actual game, but it's more like a rules question. So as you're watching the game, we know that what the overtime rules are. They've tinkered with them the last several years. So it used to be sudden death. Then it used to be if you score a touchdown first, and then they're like, no, both teams get the ball, which I do prefer. So the Rams get the ball, score a touchdown, kick the extra point. The Seahawks go down, score a touchdown, score a two-point conversion, but there's 3.5 minutes left. Both teams scored a touchdown. Should the Rams get a chance to go down and kick a field goal?
Yeah, I mean,
are you playing a quarter or not? And you can't be like, well, first touchdown. Well, they both scored touchdowns.
I do like the idea of
a walk-off two-point conversion. Me too.
No, I mean, I like the idea.
Would you go for two if you score first?
Hang on. I like the idea of playing a quarter. Like, I do like that. Play another 15 minutes, play another 10 minutes, whatever, like a timed quarter and whoever's winning. I like the idea of that. But then also, I feel like a lot of these primetime games have been going to overtime lately.
Mm.
And last night was, like, it was a great game, and I didn't mind staying up for it. But, like,
it was like midnight.
Yeah, how much later is that going to go? So, I don't know. At some point, you do kind of have to call it. Not all games have the stakes of that game last night.
Yeah, and I'm honestly fine with it that way. I think both teams deserve a chance. I guess the next point, like, would the first team just go for two? I mean, they could anyway, right? Like, if they like at that time, they could.
You could have gone for two last night if you were the Rams. I wouldn't because I didn't think Darnold was going to drive down the field in overtime based on how he looked.
No.
But you could have done
that. But then if you missed, now they only need an extra point to win the game. So like, there's part of a strategy to it. But it's just like as I was watching it, like I knew the rule and they made it very clear on the broadcast. But you're like, man, there's enough time for them to like get the ball, go down the field, kick a long field goal and win. But no, very, very, very entertaining game. I still don't believe in Sam Darnold, despite the fact they won. He got a punt return touchdown. He got a crazy call to get a two-point conversion on there.
I mean, the one that set up the touchdown to tie the game and then that crazy two-point conversion, that was another Rashid Shaheed run, like a revert. Like, he did nothing on either of those two game-tying touchdowns. I mean, literally nothing. I guess he threw for the first two-point conversion. The second two-point conversion was an incompletion, bounced off a guy's head or helmet or whatever, and was rolling around on the ground. He did nothing to tie the game when they were down 16.
Do you think Sam Darnold will win his first playoff game this year?
No. I don't care if they're the one seed. I won't pick them in a playoff game.
If Sam Darnold, and I know this wouldn't be until the Super Bowl, but if Sam Darnold played Justin Herbert in the playoffs, who would you pick?
Oh, I would definitely take Herbert.
A tie.
No,
I would, they just keep scoring.
I would absolutely, not even a question, I'd take Herbert.
Yeah, I think I would too. But I like Mike McDonald. I like Jim Harbaugh. Like, they both go, they seem to have good coaches. They have good pieces around them. But yeah, I don't believe in Seattle in the playoffs either, but it'll be interesting to see what their matchup ends up being. Because like, they could win the division. They could have the first round bye, for God's sakes.
Yeah. But like,
and then who do they play?
Right.
Like the Eagles or something?
Yeah.
I'll take the Eagles.
I wouldn't pick them. I wouldn't pick them against the 40. I mean, let's see how week 18 goes.
Are you worried about the 12s?
I wouldn't take them against the 49ers. No, in fact.
What if Dave Matthews is doing the ringing the bell or whatever?
Part of it is I was angry about my tweet last night.
Yeah.
But I
had some bad tweets.
I didn't. No, I have. It's okay. Yeah.
You're going to take like some self time off from
Maybe
Twitter?
I might have to self impose. You know what? Will Fleming knew what he's talking
about. Take a week off.
Twitter is a mean cesspool. It's the worst of our society, Brian Hoyer.
It's that, and it's Bob Ryan answering memes. Stay tuned for that.
But Seattle, so maybe my view on this is a little bit tinged, but the 12s are so annoying. I hated Seattle's uniforms last night. I hated all of that.
Those like Jets uniforms.
Those uniforms are bad. Somebody had a really good tweet last night. They were like, you can see in real time Sam Darnold morphing back into a Jet because the helmet at like the right angle was green. So, no, I mean, Seattle I just found annoying. I find the Sam Darnold conversation annoying. Sherman was annoying me last night, just openly rooting for the Seahawks. So, yeah, I mean, but I don't believe in them, no.
I don't either. They're going to have a really good record, obviously, when it's said and done. I think it's another team, though, in the NFC. I won't pick them, but I think it just goes to show – even with Darnold, the question's there. The NFC is just still more stacked than the AFC.
So I asked you this earlier. Can the Patriots hang with the big boys? You said you think so, ?
I think so. Well, and part of it's just a conversation we're having. Like, nobody believes in Sam Darnold, and yet he just went out there and beat Matt Stafford and the Rams. So another way of looking at it is Matt Stafford and the Rams lost to Sam Darnold, a team that we don't think is going to even win a playoff game.
Nope, it's fair.
So I think, like, by that logic, I feel like the Patriots, especially if you tell me, hey, you got Milton Williams, you got Robert Spillane, let's say they're as healthy as it could possibly be. I think they can. I think their quarterback can put up points. I'm not going to let last week's game and the second half of that game completely overshadow everything that they've done. So I would expect them to be the underdog. I think most people would probably pick the Rams or whatever, or maybe even the Seahawks.
I would pick the Rams against the Patriots. I would
probably not the Seahawks.
I'd pick the Patriots against
Seattle. Nationally, I could see people picking the Seahawks.
Sure.
But, no, I think they can keep up with them. If they might be a tier below them or like on the bottom of that tier if we put them there. But yeah, I'm not like seeing them and be like, oh my God, it's the 07 Patriots.
Yeah. I asked you earlier, do you think Stafford wrapped up the MVP? You think so?
Yeah, I do.
I acknowledge that the betting markets reflect that. I bet he's probably going to win. But if I had a vote, I wouldn't be like, it's Stafford in the slam dunk. Like if I had to vote right now today and it might be overreacting to the Pats game, I might vote Allen.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how they finish the season. I think at least what opens the door up to is Stafford may not be on the number one seed. He may not be on a division winner. So if he's kicked down to a wild card,
they can still finish third in that division.
Well, good point. And so if Josh Allen's a wild card and Matt Stafford's a wild card, and now wait a minute, Drake May, let's say he finishes really strong and he's the only one out of those three that wins the division, maybe that muddies up the water a little bit. I do think the stats might be a little too overwhelming. And for every one writer who votes that's like, well, he's got Puka Nacua, I think most of them will be like, yeah, he also has 45 touchdown passes, and these other guys have 25.
Right.
So I think he'll win based on the numbers.
Josh Allen also has a lot of running production that Stafford doesn't
have. True, true.
But no, okay.
He has way more picks.
I acknowledge the betting markets reflect it, and he probably will win the MVP. That would not be my pick sitting here today. And then we get a lot of this. Here we go. Guy from the 207 is the latest to do it. Guys, the Rams lost twice recently. Is their sports talk radio questioning them? They should be.
They might be, yeah.
And I think it's totally fair to say you have questions. Yeah, you have questions about the Rams. Like, I think that's fair. The Rams have a bad loss last night. Like, I think that was a crummy two-point conversion call because it was so late and it was a review. And, you know, I didn't love it. But I still blame – that's not why the Rams lost. Just stop Sam Darnold in overtime. You had the lead. Or have your fat kicker make a kick or whatever.
He's trying.
To me, there's –
they were overusing them.
There's a million different Matt Stafford had a bunch of three and outs late in regulation. So, you know, I would still blame the Rams more than anything. It's a bad loss. But now this is Patriots fans trying to make themselves feel better that their team blew a game against Buffalo. And it's like, well, see, the Rams did the same thing. It was not the same thing.
So it really wasn't. Now, they're both losses, so you can take that, and that's the same. But once you go a little bit further, I think the Patriots have been getting picked apart all year because of their schedule, which I understand they don't pick, but it's the schedule they play. They have one good win. The Rams have like five or six good wins.
Right. So the Rams aren't under as much scrutiny, I agree with you, because no one's saying they're fool's gold. They have a bunch of good wins.
And then,
you don't.
Also, if you're talking about the MVP candidates in the quote-unquote second half collapses, right? They both lost. The Patriots scored 7 points and barely had positive yards.
Seven!
And it was a Travion Henderson run, but I'll give them credit. So let's just say they had 7 points against the Bills as they watched their team collapse. The Rams put up 24 points in the second half and overtime, including putting the team up, getting the ball to start overtime, marching down the field, scoring a touchdown, and then sitting on the sideline and watching the defense give it up. So I feel like
way different.
The concern level for Rams offense or Rams overall, it has to be lower.
Yeah,
doesn't mean they didn't lose two out of their last four games. That's fine. They should be talking about that.
And again, they're both bad losses. The Rams loss last night was really bad. And if it makes you feel better to hear that, then the Rams had a bad loss last night.
Stafford lit it up.
Yeah, now pick them. The Patriots did nothing in the second half of that game. They were up 21-0.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Rams blew a late lead. Matt Stafford gave his team the lead in overtime. So, yeah, they're both bad losses. But the Patriots' loss was way worse.
Right.
Never mind, their resume is way worse
and
than
I'd
a team
be,
like the
I'd
Rams.
Be consistent. If we talk about next week, if this Ravens game goes to overtime and they lose, but Drake May marched them down 75 yards to take the lead to start overtime, and then you lose on a 2-point conversion at the end, you'd be like, all right, let's talk about the defense. What happened there? Why'd they give it up? But at least Drake May had a big-time clutch drive like Stafford did last night.
Yeah, and again, text line. Oh, you guys, they're 11-3. Do you hear yourselves? It's a bad loss for a team that's 11-3?
Yeah.
We say the same thing about the Rams might have just blown the one seed, so it's a bad loss.
I would think they would want the bye.
There's big stakes to it, and it's a bad loss for sure. Anyway, 617-779-7937. More on this if you want. We'll circle back to Josh McDaniels.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's roller coaster week for him.
I can just tell you this. I talked to people in the building and just said, like, you know, hey, what's going on with these comments? I got a lot of pushback. And then I told them, I said, some people are speculating that Mike could fire Josh after the season. And basically, Nick, I got laughed at, like, really, really hard, to the point where I was somewhat embarrassed that I asked the question. So I think everybody just needs to take it down a level. We got two really good coaches, former head coaches, one current head coach. They're really good at what they do. There's a little bit of ego and a little bit of play, and Mike, you know, has his ego, and sometimes I think he gets bored just being the head coach, and he'd like to dig in. He wants to get his fingers into every single pie, so sometimes he can't help himself, but really, it's much ado about nothing.
So Bedard asked Josh McDaniel, people in the building, he asked people in the building.
Yeah, yeah. What? How'd that come back?
Definitely not Josh. And they laughed at him. If it's not Josh McDaniels, Keith, I wonder if they were, like, overplaying their hand a little bit too much with the laughing.
You're like, okay, is that how you normally laugh? This is a normal question, normal
Josh
response?
Isn't going to matter on Sunday.
I don't know.
But even in that answer from Bedard, where he's like, I sheepishly asked, and I'm ashamed of myself that I asked, and people laughed at me so hard. He even says in there, like,
he did ask.
Vrabel's, I give him a lot of credit actually for asking.
Me too.
Curran kind of circled back with Vrabel as well.
But also, he clearly didn't think it was nothing ask.
In that answer, he's like, well, yeah, it's Vrabel's ego. It's like, oh.
So something.
Oh, okay, so there's an ego issue going on between Vrabel and McDaniels? Right.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to rewind. Neither you nor I think McDaniels is getting fired.
Correct.
I don't think he's going to leave for another job because I don't think anybody wants him. I think McDaniels will be here next year, as do you.
Mm-hmm.
But our whole thing this week was when you asked him, because Curran kept bringing up McDaniels and Vrabel and Vrabel and McDaniels and circling back to these answers. When you asked him, okay, well, you keep bringing this up.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Is McDaniels back next year? He's like, I don't know.
I was like, oh, I thought we would have known that.
That, to me, was just interesting because I fully expected Tom, when you asked that, to go,
yeah,
they're 11-3, top 10 offense. Drake May looks great. Of course he's back next year.
Yeah,
that's not what he said.
I kind of wonder, like, is there a timetable, though, on all these different arranged marriages? And that's kind of what this is, right? So, like, we've seen it in other examples. Like, we saw it, you know, Dave Dombrowski, for example. This is it's apples to oranges, but I think it relates. So Dave Dombrowski, when he came over to the Red Sox, didn't hire John Farrell.
Yep.
So I thought, all right, there's only kind of a matter of time until he's going to want to hire his guy. And that was true. A couple of years later, John Farrell's out. Dave Dombrowski hires his guy in Cora. But then Dombrowski's out, now Chaim Bloom's in. And you're like, Bloom and Cora, like, is somebody going to win that struggle? Yep, Cora did. So then Bloom's gone. And so now even Breslow never hired Cora. So I apply that to this, where you're like, Vrabel picked this entire coaching staff. The guy that was supposed to be the D coordinator, unfortunately, hasn't been able to this year, but he picked him. The guy that took his place, he picked him. All the guys that are McDaniel's staff on offense besides McDaniels, he picked. So when you're winning, it's all good. Like, it's all good. That's fine. He can work with that. You start to lose, or you lose a couple of games, you just wonder. I don't think he's in jeopardy of losing his job, but I think it's worth at least looking into, especially the way Curran was kept bringing it up on Tuesday. Because we didn't go into that interview thinking, like, you know who could be on the hot seat?
We didn't.
Like, the furthest thing from it.
We only asked one question about McDaniels, and it was at the end because it kept coming up. We didn't go in asking.
No, I know. So, but, like, he's tied in. He's close to it. So I thought it was it's curious.
Also, and I agree with you on, like, the arranged marriage thing. Vrabel didn't have arranged marriages in Tennessee, and he rolled through offensive coordinators like you read about.
What do you have, 4 and 6 years?
Yeah, those were his guys.
Yeah, yeah. He picked them. Some of those guys got pro jobs, but, like, still.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, and again, but, like, LaFleur got a job. I'm not sure that would have gone to a second year, right? It was the first year with him and Vrabel, and I don't, from what I've heard, I don't think that went well. No, I say what I've heard, what I've read and seen about it, I don't think that went well. So Yeah, he feuds with offensive coordinators he picks, and he rolls through offensive coordinators that he handpicks, never mind the ones that are forced on him. So I don't think it's crazy, but now ask me to pick. Is McDaniels back next year? I expect him back, yes.
Yep, same.
This is Curran yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. We played this once earlier. I think it's worth playing again. Curran was able to get a minute or so with Vrabel after the press conference yesterday, and here's how that went.
So I did circle up with Mike afterwards and said, hey, did I misinterpret what you were saying? He said, no, I'm talking about that's my cardinal rule. You need to have trust and be decisive in every play call. I wasn't saying that that was lacking on Sunday, but there was no harm, no foul. He said, I'm glad you got a bunch of clicks. I said, I'm not in it for clicks. But it was, that was the extent of it. But, he has not been effusive in his praise throughout the season for Josh specifically. And he also said, look, I've kind of done that with everyone, which I don't necessarily, if I was going to go case by case, but I certainly wasn't going to go down that road with Mike in the very limited time I had to just catch him after the press conference for 28 seconds. But if he says that, then I believe it. You got to take people at their word. So he said, look, we have no problem with any of the trust and decisiveness on the staff. We're doing great. And it was not specifically excising Josh from credit or blame in any instance.
So, number one, I just accusing a writer of wanting clicks is like it's the biggest thing they like have an issue with.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just doing that for
clicks.
I
don't want people to read my stuff.
So it's wow. So weird.
Yeah, yeah.
That they're defending. It's like, oh, you guys are just doing this for clout and clicks. Well, yeah, it's part of the idea. But the other piece, I think it's like a half truth from Vrabel. Vrabel has brought up, he's been asked directly about Doug Marrone. And
sure.
He's brought up other guys on the offensive line and offensive staff. So Vrabel has done that.
Of course.
He's done it way more with Josh McDaniels, but in fairness to him, I think he's been asked more about Josh McDaniels. Has he mocked anybody else's play calling?
Not that I remember.
I don't recall.
I don't think so.
We listen to, we play Mike Vrabel live pretty much every Wednesday. We go through all of his other press conferences, read through the transcripts. I don't remember. We listen to him every Monday with Greg. I don't ever remember him mocking anybody else's play calls outside of just Josh McDaniels. So I think it's like a half truth from Vrabel that he does this with everybody.
Uh-huh. I agree. Yeah, this is, again, this ended up being a bigger story this week than I would have thought, but it's also one, I don't know, sort of keep an eye on it. Like, what does it look like if this team doesn't turn it right away?
What if they lose to Baltimore? What does it sound like after the game and on Monday with Greg?
What's the offense look like and stuff like that? Yeah, no, I'm curious.
Well, I'm
curious like a cat.
And now that it's such a thing, if Vrabel goes back to it next week, you know it's intentional.
Uh-huh.
And if he lays out of it, is he laying out of it because it got too hot? We'll see. I'm curious where that goes. They might win and none of it might even matter. 617-779-7937. Don't make your picks, by the way, for Patriots and Ravens until you hear the keys.
Oh, they're coming your way.
Keys to Pats Ravens comes up at 1:00. We got the year in review, not just a week in review.
No, year.
A whole entire year in review next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
DUEEI.
Oh, what a year it's been, Jones. This is the year in review. Here's some of the interesting things that have taken place this calendar year on the Jones and Keefe program, WEEI, including last March, we had our first Jones and Keefe March Madness bracket.
Oh, so good.
The uniform bracket. We were trying to crown the best uniform in all of sports. We had the regions. We had all the different sports represented. And then all of a sudden, there was kind of shenanigans in the finals.
Hijinks ensued, yeah. This was up to the people. We tried to influence the vote as much as we could. We did not see this coming, though. We have the Hartford Whalers, the official winner of the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket, coming out of the hockey region, top seed with a bullet.
Yeah.
Out of the hockey region.
Very impressive run.
Many people somehow thought we didn't even include them. Turns out they won the whole thing. They beat out Pat Patriot and the Patriots' red uniforms, 72-28, 71-5 to 28-5.
Whooped him at the end.
Now, last I saw, Keith, this vote was about 1,000 votes less and swung the other way, 70-30 in favor of the Patriots. So
the final 2 hours, the votes more than doubled.
Some sort of hijinks have gone down in the last hour or so in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform.
What happened? Ron Francis' family got a hold of this thing?
I don't know.
I don't know. The people of Hartford took over?
I don't know. I'm kind of happy a Boston team didn't win at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy about
it. A defunct team won.
I don't care that it was a bad actor.
Yeah.
Or a bot farm.
True.
I don't care. I don't care whatever it was.
I would just like to know what it is.
Me too.
I'm not broken up about it. I'm just curious. What happened? It is a ultimate whodunit. We got to get Benoit Blanc from the Knives Out series to
good
look
idea.
Into this because we never found that out. Mm-hmm. It was like a silent assassin came in, took out all the, like, added all the votes for the Hartford Whalers, and they win. Best uniform? It's a good uniform.
It is.
What if it's the best uniform?
I stand by, though, that it legitimized the bracket a little bit that a Boston team didn't just win. It was a New England team.
Of course, there's 3 out of 4, I believe, in the final four, and then Hartford.
But it did legitimize the bracket to a degree.
Yeah,
it wasn't just Boston fans voting for their own uniforms.
This is a story that Jones told us earlier in the year.
I was behind this guy from Maine for
sick brag, bro.
For 4 hours is what I was about to say.
How's that guy doing?
He barely noticed. And so, but on the...
hard down low.
On the spare tire, it said, Bigfoot thinks you're not real is what it said.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's a good thing to look at for 4 hours.
I feel terrible for that guy.
Guy from Maine. Yeah.
That guy's a legend. That guy's a legend. All right.
That guy's a
This was a bit of controversy early in the year. Some suggest it was my heel turn. There's one guy on the text line that still brings this story
up. Oh, yeah. That guy texts every day about
the
this,
time
that
there was the public refrigerator that everybody shares, that people just put stuff in that it's for sharing. Everybody wants to share. Apparently, you can't share items that are in our kitchen.
But instead of going and getting the same beverage every single morning, I will get the, 5 on Monday, put them in the fridge. Okay. I figured that is the easiest way to go about that. This week, I did just that. Wouldn't you know, yesterday, noticed that I am all out of my Celsius.
Oh, that's not right.
Those are expensive, right?
That's not
very expensive. Thank you, Curtis. Yeah.
Your Celsius drinks in the fridge were stolen and consumed by somebody
else. And so it has to be somebody in the building. And I'm just, the call to action is I'm giving you until 5 p.m. this evening to come forward if you had, if you have taken this. If not, we're pulling the tapes.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Wow.
Wow is right.
So the tapes were pulled prior to the 5 o'clock deadline.
Yeah.
And apparently we have the person who stole it.
No, they wouldn't be. They couldn't possibly be willing to show themselves. They'd be too ashamed to show themselves.
It was me. It was me, Jones. It was me all along. First of all, you put them in the community refrigerator without your name on it. They are for everybody. Anybody can have those. Oh. It was absolutely me. I went in there, and she's also such a sleuth about it. She was like, oh, I put them in there on Monday. I think I had it Monday. She found it out Wednesday that they were gone.
Well, hang on.
So obviously you didn't want them.
That makes sense. If she put five in.
There weren't five in there.
Oh.
There was two. I took one.
Without the tapes being exposed before the end of our program, would this have come up in grab bag today?
Yeah, well, because she talked about it on the air. Yes. I wouldn't have like brought it up. In fact, you could probably go back to the Monday show on Twitch and see me drinking it right on the air. Which is true. They also pulled that tape. And I was. Wow. I wasn't like hiding it. I still don't maintain that I stole anything. She threw such a fit about it. I bought her a replacement one.
I guess I forgot.
It takes a pretty big man to do that.
It does. No, it does, for sure. I guess I forgot that she threatened to pull the tapes, but then pulled them anyway, even when you came clean. You're like, that was me.
And then Mingles is like, hey, we looked at the video. I'm like, yeah, did you see me walking down the hallway with it?
He's like, yeah. But you had already told Courtney at that point, even by the time he pulled the video, you had already told her it was you, hadn't you?
I think so.
I think you had.
I don't think so. Oh, no. He was interrogating everybody in the hallway.
Oh my,
and then we were all walking together to the show, and then Keith turns around and me and Billy goes, I stole it.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, that did happen.
No.
I took it.
Yes.
I didn't say stole because I maintain that I didn't steal.
Correct.
Okay. And then people got hot and bothered by it, and they're like, well, if it's not yours, don't have it. And I think that's normally a fair, like, I don't go into people's houses and take their things. Like, I'm not a thief, brag. But I think the thing is, we get, looking over here, for example.
Yeah.
Right now in our studio, there is
jelly donuts, bagels, potato latkes.
2 dozen bagels and everything else. Are those for everybody or are they somebody's?
Well,
they're for everybody.
Yeah, well, out in an open
room.
So
usually
like
when there's extra drinks, because we get food and drink drop off.
I mean, the sales team certainly thinks they're for everyone. I can tell
you
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, they certainly
do. And so usually, especially when there's multiple of something in the fridge, right? If there's like one rain, like if there's like one Mountain Dew, as delicious as it may look, I'll leave it. I'll be like, that's somebody's
but if
Mountain Dew.
Two.
If there's two or more, it feels like a drop off.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
I got it.
I don't know. I feel the same as I did then.
I have a hard time commenting on this because I never look in that fridge, but you are.
Well, I don't now. I got shamed out of it.
No, but you were. You're very eagle eyed looking in that fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like a catfish. I eat all the trash in the tank. All right, here's another big day for us. We talked a lot about Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson this year.
Oh, for sure.
You know, they just had their meat anniversary. She tweeted about that.
I saw you text me that, yeah.
No, M-E-E-T. Jesus, Nick. What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, I didn't know what you
said. The show's on during the day. No, the meet-iversary is when they met.
Yeah, you can say it again.
I do like that name for it, though.
Still sounds awful. Yeah. Yeah, talk about that some more.
This is when we dated. Yeah. 3 days later was the meet-iversary.
We went on a date.
We dated. Our first date was on a Monday. Our meet-iversary was Wednesday.
She had a wild post on her Instagram.
Yeah.
So she said February 11th, 2025, then an arrow pointing to February 11th, 2021. So she was 20?
Yeah.
Okay. Happy meet-iversary at Bill Belichick.
Also,
cheers. I'm not done. Cheers with a cheersing emoji to the fact that you still let me give you lengthy philosophical lectures for 4 years later.
Oh, okay. Good.
Hashtag love is not logical.
Nope.
Hashtag even though it kind of is.
No.
Hashtag ironic. Hashtag I fill to fill. P-H-I-L. P-H-I-L.
Don't plug that in on Pornhub.
And then a, like, when you make a heart with your hands emoji.
I search those hashtags every day.
I fill to fill. That's well,
philosophy.
Thank you.
Feel like Uncle Phil.
Sure. Exactly.
Also, we have a new friend of the show. He may not know it yet, but random baseball player and now announcer of the Fantasy Draft Order, one Jeff Cirillo.
All right, boys. Welcome to your Fantasy Draft randomized as much as I can anyway. All right, we're going to go Keith 1.
Yeah, of course.
Laney 2.
Sure.
Park 3. Dan Ball 4. Brian, 5. Jones, 6. Derp, 7. Nick, 8. Fitzy 9. Stitz and Ted 10. Oh, I messed this up.
Yeah, that was it. There's 12 members of the league. He admits on the broadcast, the recording, that he screwed up, and then he sent it anyway. And that was it. That was my $9. He's like hell, you're going to have to wrestle these $9 out of my cold, dead hands. I already did it. So Stitz and Ted.
I screwed this up. Stitz and Ted anyway.
Not the worst hot mic moment I've heard.
No, we got one of those coming up in grab bag.
We sure do. So Stitz and Ted were in there. But he's also like on a flight.
He's on
the
flight hasn't taken off.
I'd imagine in economy.
And I think he started out reading the order. I put the names in. I'm like, can you randomize these 12 names? He's like, number one pick, Keith. I'm like, oh God. You don't have to give the guy who asked, although I did spend the $9 on it. So maybe he's like, here, I'm throwing you one. But my team sucked in that league. Yeah. So I blame Cirillo. And then lastly, Jones, we gotta trim down here for time. But lastly, we did get the Hogdale origin story this year in person at Fenway Park.
Right. So is Hogdale a birth name, a nickname? How did you get the name Hogdale? Or if there's an air of mystery to it, you don't have to tell us, but how did you come up with Hogdale?
Well, I didn't come. It was my dad. My dad, it's what he calls all of his brothers. It's actually because...
Hogdale? He calls all of his brothers Hogdale?
You guys are at a family reunion, and you're like, what's up, Hogdale? Hey, I need a burger there, Hogdale. Who's cooking the hot dogs, Hogdale?
It's actually because my uncle was in jail in Missouri.
Okay.
My dad went to go bail him out. The jail guard there mispronounced his name as Hogdale. He thought it was the funniest thing ever.
That's a much better answer than I would have guessed.
So, he calls all his brothers Hogdale and me Hogdale.
Wow.
All the males in the family were Hogdale.
How many Hogdale brothers are there?
Your uncles, I guess. Brothers, yeah.
I had four uncles, I believe, and a sister, an aunt as well. And then
what do they call her?
A younger brother.
Hogmam.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like the Anthony situation. Roman Anthony's got a family full of Anthonys. You have a family full of Hogdales.
Yeah, bunch
That's
of
excellent.
Pretty good. The legend lives on.
That was good. And look at the man now. Look at Hogdale now.
Guy's thriving.
Yeah.
Yeah, a big 2025 for Hog.
Huge 2025. Yep. Yeah, no, it's true.
He was a Hoss of the Week one time, too.
Yeah, Hostile.
Hostile.
I believe is what we titled that on Twitter. No doubt. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so I know
we're up against it, time.
Maybe,
say,
maybe we could get some brags later on, because I know there's some good brags in there that we should get to.
There is. Yeah, let's do that later.
Let's bag them.
I'll put them in the bag.
Yeah, we'll bag those. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into the Pats and Ray.
What's that?
I hear that?
I do.
Sounds like keys to this weekend's game next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump?
Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover's accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.